Hello and welcome to the 7th Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by Laxey Pear, Max Murley and Dave Corley. Lads, welcome along. Thanks for coming in. It's actually a lovely Friday afternoon now.
Yeah, you're tempting fate there.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil Dave Reads the Weather too much, but this might be the calm before the storm.
I think it will be, yeah.
Lads, how are you today? Good, Dave. Thanks for coming in.
No, thank you. Thanks for having us.
We've been trying to get you in for a while. Obviously, last week, we must apologise. We didn't have a pod last week. That was sort of my fault because we were at a wedding last Friday, so we couldn't quite fit these guys in, could we? So we put it back a week, but I still think, you know,
it's been worth it. You've seen the amount of questions we've had,
yeah? Yeah, we've had tons of social media questions for these lads. We've actually had to cut a few out. I won't name any names, but there was something about the circumference of Dave's head.
Chris Brown. Yeah, definitely his head.
But yeah, we've had 14, which I think is a record high for the podcast. And we've done, this is our 97th podcast, Dave.
Not bad. What are we doing for the 100th, by the way?
I haven't decided yet.
We don't want to peak too early with these two, do we?
Maybe see if work will spring for a couple of party poppers
and a
balloon. But yeah, we've also obviously got you in, lads, to discuss the minus tremendous start to the season, the kind of life Premier League season, of course.
You've pretty much taken everyone by surprise.
Surprise package is the term being bandied about. But before we get into that, it's the most important part of the podcast, isn't it?
It is.
It's the biscuits. Now, don't be put off, lads. I may have had a couple on the way back over from the garage, but I haven't fingered them all, don't worry. So we've gone for this week, this is McVitie's cookies. So apparently McVitie's haven't had a cookies brand before.
I didn't know that.
And because, you know, it's Friday, I've gone for the white chocolate chip. So lads, help yourself. And yes, Max, you've brought in some yourself. What have you gone for?
Just the chocolate hobnobs, dear.
Strong contender.
Yeah, always a classic.
So help yourself to a biscuit. Let us know what you think.
Cheers.
I'll keep tagging McVitie's in Instagram and posts and stuff, but never get a response.
Yeah, one day it will.
So. I feel like Eminem and Stan. Yeah. They just never replied. Yeah. Have you had one yet, Dave?
I have, they are good.
They're nice, aren't they?
They're
only £1 though.
I've
been
mugged off there.
Yeah, well, don't worry, Max. We'll always have room for them a bit later on. Anyway, Dave, you made a great start. You dropped your first points of the season last week, but only in the 90-something minute.
Yeah.
But I suppose we should start off by saying, what's the difference? Because it looked largely the same squad. You've even lost some players than you had last year. And last year, it looked like you were going down. But this year, you were unbeatable.
I think we've lost 11 now, is it? After university. But this is probably a difficult one to answer. What's changed? I think it's more the fitness of the lads. Pre-season was a lot tougher this year. There was no back chat of when we said go running for starters. They actually went running, which was a bonus.
Most did.
Yeah, obviously having Max back, I'll big him up this time. Bringing Max back, obviously, from travelling and bringing him into the team has been unreal. You've seen it from Team of the Week. I think it's four on the bounce now, is it?
Somehow.
He keeps sending those fivers in.
I'm running out, I am.
But yeah, I think John is the big key to this. I hate blowing his smoke up his what people don't know is he has a little bit of like a inside information from Colin Roy Ackersley. Yeah. Like two of them together, like a team. People don't know that, but that's where he gets his information and tactics from.
Are you saying they're the director of football at Glenrothes these days?
Yeah. Correct, the director of football, yes.
Right, so, but yeah, it is. You say, I know, not to be disrespectful to you or your opponents, but you had quite a favourable start.
Correct. We had the first five games, and we looked at them, and we target the first five to come away with maximum points out of the first five, and obviously with Castellan dropping out, it was the first four, and we've come away with that.
Yeah.
So we're happy with our start at the moment.
And Rushing, who I watched the week before, very unlucky not to get more than a point out of Peel. And you guys were a whisker away of getting a point against a very good Rushing team at the moment. Yeah. So that must fill you with even more confidence, Dave.
Yeah, it does. We based Saturday on seeing where we were at in the league, and we based Rushing as the team to pinpoint. And we weren't far off matching them, I wouldn't have thought. First half, we were disappointed, yes. Mm-hmm. Second half, we matched them. And we've now set ourselves a benchmark that Rushing is. If we can compete like Rushing, we're going to have a good season.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's going to be another question coming, where we're going to target later on. We'll come into that. But we've set ourselves a target now.
I think the fitness has definitely helped. So we showed, even then, they're a fit team. Yeah. And it,
if we had fully committed like fitness levels, we would have been able to compete to the last, I think. But it's just good to say, show where you're at, because there's nothing, really nothing to lose in that game. Kind of, everyone thought we were going to lose anyway. Kind of go at it. And I mean, say the first half, we were pretty bad. That's the worst actually first half I've been involved in, I think. And then second half, much better. But then at least now, if we're in a similar situation going forward against a big team, hopefully we won't panic as much and give the ball away. And because we just, I think at the end, Jordan scoring all the goals for us, but he was playing deeper than we were at the end.
Yeah,
of
he was just defending,
and it was having panicking a bit. So hopefully, it's a good experience for us to learn. And next time, if we are in a similar situation,
it was though we just lost a final. That was the feeling in the change room.
Expected,
so whereas last year we just thought, oh, we've lost again, but in that change room there was a feeling like, oh, we were devastated, as though we just lost the final.
Just to flip that, if you had a sticky start to the season, in it, the four games you're targeting, and perhaps it hadn't got, you know, it hasn't gone as well as it had.
Yeah.
Would you have gone into that game thinking, "Oh right, maybe four or five could get a hammer in here"? Do you think it's
just
would have
been honest? Yes, I think we would. I think you're right. We would have. Last season we did it when we played against the top teams. We sort of went to think, "Here we go again." But then once we got into it, Geordie's, I think we contained Geordie's at 0-0 or something to the last 15 minutes, and then it's that last 15 minutes let us down. Corinthians was an example. We had him at 3-3. Finished 83 last 15 minutes. It's just that. Oh yeah, we were actually, yeah. And it's the last 15, whereas now it's not the last 15, we're going to the end of the game. Obviously, injury time we need to work on. But
You're building.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jordan, obviously he started the season well, and he's had big shoes to fill with Joe not being around this year, because Joe had a fantastic year last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So Jordan's obviously settled in well, and you've got a really good crop of youngsters come through as well. How are they all settling in?
Doing great, I think. I was really impressed. Like, obviously, I missed last year. I missed, I don't know, last 7 years, I think. enough. But getting to hear stories from people about young lads, and they're coming through at 16, and they're being a bit, you know, gobby. They've won all, they've won everything, haven't they? Like, Lexi's got a good youth setup, so they win all the leagues, underage groups, and they come up to senior football and still think they're the best, and obviously it's a big step up. And you hear stories, and I came back this year, and I was really impressed with the lads, how much, like, people are actually growing up. No, that includes Mike Fernandez as well.
Young Mason's my one. Mason Henworth, is it?
Henwood. Yeah.
Unreal. He's got a big future ahead of him in men's football. Good football.
But I don't wish to steal any of Dave's thunder from Combi Corner, but it's dripping now. You've got a strong Combi this year, and it must be that sort of competition for places is only good, isn't it, Dave?
It is. It's very difficult and good in the competition side, because the Combi are challenging now for the spots. John's base in training on who he picks. So if you train, you're picked. Whereas I think looking back in the years, it's been on your name. If you've been a name, good player, like an Ash Webster, for an example, yes, you're going to play Ash every week because he's probably the best footballer Lex has ever had. Debatable, by some people might say. But now it's you train, you play. John gives you merit. So yeah, the Combi, as I say.
It's some strong players in there as well. We've got, like, I think Harry.
Cam Nelson.
Yeah.
Aaron Doherty. Harry, these people haven't even knocked on the first team door yet, but they're there. It's just once, for an example, me and Max don't play, they're in.
You know they're good enough to make a step up, which is nice. You don't have to worry about it. I think, say, Harry Waters won our most improved player last year.
Don't know, though, because he's terrible.
I think I'm glad he wasn't started. But he was, like, quite important, I think, in central midfield.
Yeah, he was. Just ran around like a headless chicken.
That's why.
Yeah.
And now he's obviously kind of back in the Combi, struggling to get in the first team. Obviously, you will get a chance, but it's just shows good competition at the moment.
We talked about it briefly before. You said, you know, you've been on, personally, Max, you've been on fire this year. You've had Team of the Week performances coming out of your backside. You're September Player of the Month. Now, it's always nice to be acknowledged, isn't it?
Yeah.
Has it been anything you've done differently this season, or is it just...
Got myself a girlfriend.
Don't know, that's helped. She's come out to watch one game and we lost.
And it's now banned.
No, I think, obviously, come back, I mean, I'm 28 now and that's
peak.
Pretty damn old, actually, that is, I think. Yeah. So it's... before, like, in pre-season, obviously, I was chatting to John and I said I wanted to kind of, in pre-season, be one of the fittest, be training on time, be there all the time kind of thing. Because when I was coming through 16, 17, 18, I'm looking up at, you know,
Nigel
Travers, like all the guys who are there all the time, Gary Williams, you know, in and out, training.
Barry Gaffney.
Yeah. And it's like, you see them and you kind of, you just, you're almost like intimidated, you want to do well, you want to impress them. So I kind of, obviously not on that level, I wanted to be at the front, be fitter, so the younger lads can think, oh, if he's doing that, I should do it. So I've been focusing a lot on fitness this year. And then, I don't know, it's just nice to be actually, I've never had a run of games injury free. Like, and I've never really been here that much, but it's being able to play central midfield as well. It's actually in a position that I normally play. Sometimes when you're younger, you get put on the wings and whatnot. But it's just kind of, I think again, it's all the teams playing well, so it kind of looks well on you. Nothing I've done differently, I think. I always just run around a bit headless. Maybe I do less headless shipping. A bit older, maybe someone else do some running as well.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this, Dave, but I've heard, do you remember Michael Hooper?
Yeah.
With the Manx Makaleli. And people are sort of banding you around in that sort of stratosphere at the moment.
I'll take that. It's great that I'm really enjoying it. And I mean, some of them, I mean, team of the week, played centre back, lost, conceded four. Maybe shouldn't be getting that one and one of the other ones. But no, it's great. It's great to get the acknowledgement, and obviously that's the abuse that comes with it. That's been a good start. Hopefully we'll continue, really.
Lads, you've both been at Laxey for large spells through your career. You're up at Max, you've obviously said
someone's been there the whole time.
Yeah. You've been away travelling and stuff. Yeah. Have you ever been tempted to move anywhere else, Dave?
I have, yeah. There has been temptations.
Yeah.
Obviously, I went to Ramsey pre-season a few times, but deep down, it was only ever Laxey I was going to stay at.
A few empty threats.
Yeah.
Who would leave Laxey to Ramsey? No one person who did it.
Oh, there's not Fernandez.
Anything to get
did
worse.
Did Ryan Williamson go back to Ramsey after? I know he went egg chasing.
Yeah, he did.
It's quite a well-trodden path, though, isn't it?
It is.
The Laxey Ramsey.
Definitely did take a few of their players, didn't
we? Yeah, we did. I think the best one we ever took was probably Ash. But Declan's up there. I rate Declan.
Declan Cummins, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, to be fair, there was Andy Carey as well.
Fowler's come down.
Yeah, we did. Andy
Danny Fowler.
Danny was up there.
He was a really good player, but he's always injured as well.
Yeah.
But we have had a lot of good players come from that area. But it's
Davin Jones, Digger Daz.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we looked on the Laxey site this week, didn't we, Dave, to try and find out how many appearances you guys have made.
Yeah. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
Can't be many for me.
I'm going to say you're putting out 50-something.
Yeah, something like that.
First team, you're around 64, 63, I think you're around that mark. Do you know what you've got?
I'm not near Johnny.
Like, how much?
Johnny's on 500-something, I think.
You must be your next.
I think Gary's slightly ahead, maybe.
For both the teams, you're on about 450, I think, for first team in Combi. So
I'm catching.
Did
it say how many own goals?
Andy Burkett's our goal.
He's back this weekend, isn't he?
He is, yes, he's back this weekend. He'll be on the bench.
Who can say that, Dave? Are they still rolling Johnny out for a 5-minute cameo in the
Combi? To be fair, if Johnny trained, that he could still be first team. But as you say, John's now, 40? but yeah, John could still be. He's still very technically good in the football.
Yeah, isn't he?
Just doesn't train.
Yeah.
He's played once or twice for Combi this year.
He played in goal,
yeah.
Man of the
match. He just keeps ticking it over, doesn't he?
Yeah, does, yeah. John, I don't think anyone will ever catch John.
No,
I really don't think. 500, I think it must be 520 some games, I think he's played. He was saying in the week.
Yeah.
No one's going to catch that.
Yeah. Well, it's something to aspire to, isn't it?
There you go.
And fair play, I presume it's Dudley that does the stats. It's
yeah, he does a great job.
He does to get the stats out. But he used to always love back in the day when, you know, when I first started this job, when it was in black and white, Laxey's website always used to be an absolute source of information, including the player profiles. Johnny Keller or Adam Ricketts.
That was
it.
Yeah,
he was known for a long
time. And that lovely outfit.
So, is it still up there, Dave, with the player profile?
Yeah, it's still on there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we need to get look at that photo.
Match reports every week.
Yeah, he does match report every week for us as well.
It's good. Eyes close half of it, but
we'll have to share the link to that later on. As we said, though, Dave, we've had tons of questions for these lads, haven't we?
We have. First one in from Nick White.
Very sensible question from Nick.
It is, actually. And basically, first things first, are you surprised how well you boys have started this season? And he also goes on to ask him where you aim to finish up at the end of the year.
For me, no, I'm not surprised. Right. We beginning of the pre-season, we targeted these games, so I'm not surprised where
I
we
think
are.
With the first, when the Castellan game out, with the first four, I think we said we'd be happy with like 10,
yeah.
And then we played the first two, and we're like, well, we're playing quite well here.
Yeah.
Let's go for the full kind of 12.
Yeah. Were you worried about, you said before you'd had losing 10 from a squad would decimate pretty much every...
We were worried, yeah.
Because that's what, because when I got a lot of stick, no names, from a certain... dad of one of your team members who scored a lot of goals this season.
I'm going to play for Fernandes anyway.
So he said to me, I can't believe you've tipped us to finish 10th. And I said, well, I'm not being funny. Johnny said to me, you've lost 10 players. And they were not 10 fringe players.
No.
Future Island players.
Yeah. So, as you say, you were targeting a good start, but you must have in the back of your head thinking, if we have a few injuries or a suspension, we're going to really struggle.
Yeah, it still is, I suppose, in the back of my head, if we get injuries, that we will dwindle. But everything at the moment is just the club is on such a high, and we can't put a finger on what it is.
Really momentum, much. Dave, isn't it?
It's the buzz we use all the time.
Not even a helicopter on the pitch can.
I look at these pictures in the Gary's amazing pictures that we had a couple in the paper this week.
Oh, I don't like
it looks like an absolute a billiards table.
Yeah,
the pitch, you wouldn't think there was a helicopter
condition.
On that 80 yard box.
The day afterwards, you wouldn't have even thought it. The drainage the pitch is holding.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The boys do really well, the Monday Club, as they call themselves.
Yeah,
so who's looking after the pitches still, Pavakin?
He's still around.
Sam with the Brush, was he?
Yeah. Terry Drogan's there.
George
Dudley,
Lawson.
George Lawson, Pete Quirk,
Paul
Bernard.
Mike
Bailey, obviously, got to get Mike in. But yeah, they're doing an absolutely fantastic job on
really
that pitch.
Job.
It does look fair play.
Oh, it is.
Considering
it's probably
the
best I've seen it.
Because I'm not being funny, it used to be when weeks like this week, you'd think, but you know, even as Dave says, with a Coast Guard helicopter,
it could have been. It's a far cry from we were in the 40s and 60s. I remember building that clubhouse,
yeah.
The sand and the glass in that corner,
yeah.
That was awful.
Should give a shout out to Mike, because Fernandes did organise a lot of new drainage work on the side this year, so it'll be one thing nice about him. We can carry on.
<Yeah.
laughs>
So as Nick does say, what's the aim for the rest of the season then? Have we whispered Railway Cup yet?
We have.
If we got the other result, I think, against Russian, then we would have given that why not kind of thing. If they drew,
I think the next 2 weeks we'll know, because then we've got 3 weeks. We've got 3 weeks after that. I think we've got this week is Peel, and then we've got St Mary's.
Remember 3 week? Go-kart.
Oh yeah, go-kart. Yeah. So next 3 weeks we'll know.
I think sixth is a good. I think I'd be upset if we didn't get sixth. You're looking at kind of being, as I see, there is a big gap between the big teams, and then I think you're looking, you know, you want to be above. I think DAFCA is probably the next kind of team there, and that's the.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good result for us.
We'd like to be around Corinthians and Russian.
Yeah.
That's what I think we're targeting.
It's a complete change of mentality. You spent most of last season looking over
your
shoulder, and now you're looking up. So.
It's nice though.
It is.
That leads nicely on to Hattie's question.
Yes.
Mate. Well done then. It's like we've been doing this for 97 episodes.
Still got used to it. But, yeah, Hattie asks, was the St John's for last game of the season one of the best you've played in? Did you think when St John's were 2-0 up, did you think that was it? We're relegated? You spent most of the season in the relegation zone, so what was the turning point?
So Max, you weren't here for that game.
I was on the telephone.
He was
on the telephone to Dad the whole time.
So Dave, you played in that game.
Was it the best game? No, it wasn't our best game. The feeling afterwards was our best game was St George's away, where we battled for the 75-80 minutes and then fitness kicked in. That was our best game last year.
When you were 2-0 down, I suppose
you can't
start thinking like that then, because it's pretty much you throwing
well,
it down.
For me it was, because I was one that probably gave it the first goal thing. I've now got my team relegated, and that was going through my head. But at half time we went in and we were relaxed. There was no panic or anything. We knew we'd done it. Well, other games, we come from behind and challenged again. So we knew if we get that first goal, it's all open. And as I say, I think it was... I can't remember who scored the first goal now for us.
No, I didn't know. It was Hattie obviously did that game.
But
yeah.
Like Fernandes
scored
one,
didn't they?
But I don't think his was the first.
I have been told from a reliable source that when we went 2-0 down, John looked to the bench and Joe Murray did come on when we were losing and then they did win. So he's asked
yeah,
that.
He did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Told you that.
But yeah, it comes down to it. We never give in. There was a thing at half time, we all thought, this is it. You know, it's a Friday night game, I think, as well, wasn't it?
No, midweek.
Was it midweek? And it was just, we all thought.
And I believe it absolutely lashed it down as well, didn't it? It was horrible weather. There's the picture, isn't there? That's one of Patty's great pictures, and everyone sort of piled
up. It wasn't too bad. It was bad weather, but it wasn't too bad. Mm. But there's just a feeling when Tom Cowan somehow got a toe to that ball. It was just. It's probably the best feeling I've ever had at Laxey.
Really?
Okay. It really was. Yeah, you
said that, like, all the cup finals.
Every cup final, that just surpassed it all. It was, I can't even remember what happened when it went in. It just, everything was a blur. It was just running around. It was just
defend for a few minutes.
Yeah. At one point, I turned around and John Palmer was just running off onto the Astro turn. Where's he going? And I think it's the fastest he's ever ran, let's be honest.
So you say, part of Hattie's question was, what was the turning point? Do you pinpoint it as that Geordie's game?
No, the turning point for me was probably Corinthians. Mm. Going to 3-1 up, we knew we could challenge. That was the turning point for us.
Mm. And there's this belief that seems to have continued over pre-season.
I'm not going to, again, it's John. John's the key to this. Mm. He had everyone believing. You know, John, the team that John could pick from was very limited. It sort of picked itself, the first team. But John just went with it. I don't know. I think it's the banter he had with the lads. You know, I won't say some of the banter he has. It's not for the radio. But John got the best out of us. Hmm. And I can't pinpoint why it did. It's odd.
Man mode there.
Yeah, I mean, you play for all those managers and it's like...
Yeah.
He's like, he's your mate, but he's also your manager. Hmm. He's not going to like treat you like a little kid, but... He's just, he hits it.
He's ruthless.
He's just, I'm like, so he's going to be signing in terms of the pre-season, and John will greet him in a special way. Interpret it as you want, but I'm like, don't scare him off kind of thing, but it seems to work the best day. Yeah.
Fair enough. But,
so you mentioned there, Screech, about your favourite moments, but what are you, Max, in your Laxey career? What's the standout for you?
I unfortunately haven't, I kind of joined when Laxey was declining, so
the wheel stopped.
That's down to me or not? Yeah, but it was. So I've never been in like the cup finals or won anything for the first team or kind of senior level. So I don't really have many standout moments. Maybe something in the season will be nice. Mm. For me, it's probably just scoring a goal. I don't score many goals, so that's about it. Probably. Two, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the most I've scored in the season. As soon as I score one, and that's, I know at the end of the season dinner, I won't get a punishment. Forfeit from you, so I can do it. But no, I don't. I've never really
bring back Keith Brown for them.
Won anything? So I do remember. I think my first game when I was 16, David sent a mid at St Mary against St Mary's of Laxey. I think I'm could be making this up. I think we won 2-1. I scored a goal on that, and I just remember like. You know, you've got all like Nigel Beattie, Jim Travis, Sam Theobald, all the older guys
that's swarming. Yeah. It was planned up soon, actually.
It is soon.
Next month. 5 years back.
Almost done.
But yeah, so having a party to celebrate.
Yeah, I'll bring it back for a party.
Yeah. Higher up the mountains.
Just in time for Masters football for him.
Right, next question is from Agent Rashid. Says, hi guys, hope you're well. Let's talk nicknames. So Max, your brother's known as Titch in some circles. Why is that?
Can we go on to this?
Put it this way, Max doesn't know if it Titch or
No, he said he did send me this one and said, please be nice. So I think he was just when young, he's always been small, so his mates. I'll leave it at that. And he's
them very small short.
But no, he's normal size now.
That's my brother.
Wow. And why Screech?
I think it was Carl Barks.
Carl Barks?
Yeah, going back years at training down Laxey. That's when I was skinny, and I had a little mini afro.
And your cornflakes diet.
Yeah, and I think that's where it came from, was Carl Barks, to be honest. Maybe Nigel Beattie might be thrown in there.
Isn't it sad nowadays that you have to explain the show
Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, I know. What? Saved by the Bell? Wow.
I never knew his real name. Like, I was played for Laxey for years when I was younger, and I never actually knew his real name. And he obviously managed the kind of Cal Cup when we did that. And then someone would be just obviously calling David. And who was David? Yeah. No idea. Years. I have no idea. His actual name's David Paul. Always screeching it.
He used to be called Curly in high school as well.
Yeah, there's other names made, but we'll leave.
Fantastic stuff. Joe Murley.
We've missed a little from Rashid there. He asks, who's the one footballer back in your school days that stands out? They may not play anymore, but they were ace.
That's a different answer. For me, Phil Quayle at Ramsey. I went to Ramsey with Phil and he was a brilliant footballer.
The original false nine up at
But he was
played in the hole.
He could play anywhere, honestly. He was. I tried to get him to Laxey every year, but I guess he's like me. I'll never leave out there. He was fast, two-footed, could head the ball for his size really well. I always have been a great footballer, so I'd definitely say Phil Quayle on that one for me. That's a real answer.
Oof, I've got two that stand out for me. Both don't play football anymore. One's James Sale of Ramsey.
Cracking forward.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Like just a number nine, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And then obviously he just disappeared.
Run through walls, wouldn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, literally, yeah. And the other one's probably a lot of people don't know him. It's probably John Cleeter.
Oh, right.
He was probably the most gifted footballer I think I've ever seen. He, both feet, head, tackle, ability, everything about him was fantastic. So he'd be my number one.
Not Dave Norton, no.
There is a loaded question coming in from someone else.
I'll wait for this one.
Yeah.
Next question is from Joe Murley, as I alluded to before. If you could sign any two players,
this is easy.
I think we've always said it. We always kind of obviously talk about who'd be nice to have come down. We've recently obviously lost a lot of players. For reasons or another, skill win things, they've obviously not won anything yet. Or the league anyway. Yeah. But we've lost Fraser Vaughan, who is one of the best footballers we've ever played with, probably like in the midfield at Lexie, or just size wise. When you've got a young team as well, to have Fraser in there is good. And then we've lost Tom Smith as well to Corinthians. And it's just like you think if you could put those two back in the team from the game we just lost at Russian, could be a different outcome. But they are game changers for us, and obviously they're both centre back, centre mid. Really good at what they do there. I think it's probably the same.
I'd agree. Yeah. I would really agree with them too. I'd have him back in a heartbeat.
Good answer.
Yeah, good answer.
Tom Cowan, I'd probably take Tom Smith back any day. He's missing his boyfriend. So much weight lost. Tom leaves. That's his slim fast diet, by the way. Tom Cowan's on a slim fast diet. That's what he was. He's been a year of it now.
He's doing well. But there are so many, obviously, loads of good players out there on the island and the big names, but we don't have any big names, actually.
That probably works for you.
It's great.
Yeah. And Mike thinks he's a big name, but no, he's not.
But no, it's good to have lads who are like good footballers, not big egos. Just like no one there. Biggest ego we've got is John.
Yeah, it is.
And it works well.
And that's a big balance. Ego.
All right, the next question in from Dave Matheson. It says, congratulations on a great season so far. Question for you, Dave. Who's the best player in your tutor group at St. Ninian's?
Very specific question. He is. As soon as this one came up, I was thinking that. I'm going to say Adam Leggett.
He was a good one. He was a good player, yeah. I don't know what he's doing these days. But
no.
He also asks, is your greatest achievement winning the Inter-House tournament for Brennan?
Yes, 100%, Dave. It really is. Yeah.
And not at all a loaded question here. Do you remember the captain who scored the header in the 1-0 win?
Yeah. I think it might have been Dave by any chance, was it?
By any chance, probably was, yeah.
Dave was captain.
What a player.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Were you two centre backs?
No, I was a centre forward back then.
What?
Yeah. That's when I was skinny, I told you. Skinny back then.
Max is in disbelief.
Yeah. You feel nappies.
A long time ago.
I do remember the Inter-House tournaments were a big deal back then.
They were.
I remember playing year 7 or 8, I'd be. Because I used to play, rugby was my primary sport at school, and being forced to play right back for Isdale or something like that, and giving away a penalty and going off the field in tears because everyone hated me because we'd
lost. It was Noble's Park as well, weren't it?
No, it was actually at the bottom of Park Road. It was that long ago. We played
really?
right around the bottom. Yeah. So
well, these in-house games, they prepared you for the pressures of the Max Premier League.
That's it.
Next question is in from Tony Sewell. He said, who's the best keeper, John Palmer or Rob Slinger?
Oof. They're both hump.
But we talked about it.
As Palmer's going to have to pick this team this week, I'm going to say Palmer.
He did, but he played in that last year for years.
Yeah.
Slinger's kept more clean sheets already.
That's true, actually, yeah.
So, sort of like, I'm going to say Palmer just because I might be picked tomorrow.
Yeah. Max?
I've only played with Slinger. So
Have you?
Yeah. I just spent half the game trying to keep him calm, so it's
good luck with that.
It's fine.
Tony adds, he says that John's done a great job at Laxey. So
we can all concur with that. Yeah. Right, we get on to the serious questions now. Will Burke first asks, what are your thoughts on Harry Walters' haircut?
Terrible. It's as though he is trying to just
his brother.
Yeah, that's all he's doing. He's just copying Joe.
Like going on looks, that's not what you want to copy Joe on. Copying on football.
So I haven't seen it. Has he gone for the full?
It's all down, straight off. Yeah, and he's great at the age of 16.
Great.
Yeah.
Like a young Matt Cole.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sean Gavy.
It is. Yeah, Sean Gavy was the same. He was great at 16.
It's all the stress of the twin brothers.
Just for men as the kit sponsor.
Yeah. We were our kit sponsor. Oh, yeah. Newfield. They've done a nice kit for us. Nice and shout out Newfield.
Nice plug there, Max.
Seamless. This came up on like Instagram or Facebook, whatever. Dad was like, can you please make sure you shout out Newfield?
The arms are the bigger kit as well, aren't they? So Gav has to get that. He's got his dad bod on him. He's got to get a big shirt, Gav.
That's a good question. Do you always choose the same numbers?
John does them. Some people do. Some people ask for it, but John does not.
Because I've noticed it now. I don't know if it's me. Some clubs now are being really annoying and not doing 1-11.
Yeah.
I know in certain instances, like Corinthians have retired the number 4 shirt. Yeah. No problem with that. But then some, I think, are just lazy. So you'll have a 17 turning up, and I'm like, well, hang on. And then you. A squad number shouldn't be in the Manx game.
Well,
I'm a purist, 1-11.
The other side of it was Eric was fuming last week because Douglas Athletic turned up with 2 number 2s.
No, it was Moran.
Moran
played 2 number 2s.
Yeah.
Which I think is outrageous.
Yeah.
I
think
Slim
got it. Yeah. Did you have a number on his shirt?
I think you kind of guess what number he might be. But yeah. To stop the game and get it.
Was it Danny Mead or I can't remember when your goalkeepers had their own kit, didn't they?
Mead did.
Because he liked the short sleeve rather than the long sleeve. So he used to bring his own kit.
Trying to show
his
arm.
Right, so moving on. Tommy Miller says, my question is for Screech. Did he imagine that when he copied my long hair years ago that he would never grow out of that phase? And how many times have his friends, family and teammates told him it's time to move on from the quarter-life crisis?
Yeah, I get this a lot, but this is where it gets a bit serious. I do it for the Little Princess Foundation. It gets to so long, they shave it off and then they give it to children, which are obviously... We have cancer, leukemia, etc. But that's why it's like this.
I feel really bad now because I called you last Samurai.
So there, Tommy,
on the podcast.
But I get it all the time. Yeah.
So how long do you grow it when in?
I think it's over 12. Is it, no, 8 inches. I think it has to be
right.
Steady.
And you dug out some old photos, didn't you, yesterday of the PLV Laxey?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
probably fresh
rafe. That's probably the last time, I think. It was cut.
It was a very, quite conventional short back and side.
It was. It really was. It's a terrible picture. I should have came up with like, no.
Right,
next question, Dave.
A Laxey man himself, Matthew Wilkinson. Here you go. Who is the dopiest Walters, Joe or Harry?
Tough question.
I can't even answer that. They're both dumb.
I've heard
some
belting stories about Joe.
Yeah.
So it must Harry must be going some to try and beat that.
Yeah. Well, Harry bottles everything. Like the initiations, Harry wouldn't take his drink, so Joe had to do it for him. The big brother stepped up to help him out. But yeah,
I've never seen Joe out and not be sick.
No,
all the time. But it's.
But he doesn't take after his dad though. Dad's not like that.
No, he's very sensible.
No. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It worries me. He's at university.
I don't know how. Like we've obviously we've said it before.
Don't have half them. Tommy Callum. How's he gonna last?
I have a word to say against Tommy. He works for my local co-op and he's a good lad.
It's a good deal.
He's
got a great lad foot. Yeah.
He was the quarterback last year, wasn't he? Playmaking from centre half.
Yeah.
If he was fit, he'd be a great footballer.
But that's
just
keyword, fit.
But yeah, some of those players going to uni is.
You talk about drinking there. Like the likes of Moran have monkey brains and stuff. Do you guys have anything?
What's your initiation drink?
Ours is a pint,
Guinness,
shot of whiskey, and a pickled egg.
Ooh,
geez.
Lovely.
Max is still recovering after all those years.
I somehow, obviously, which is club captain, and if I've been away travelling and come home, I'm a new signing. So every time I get to the new initiation,
exactly.
The amount of pickled eggs I've
Yeah, we've tried, got a few initiations actually this year.
I've had Curly or Ryan Williamson do his pickled egg and be sick all over me.
Oh, yeah,
I just can't. I hate the pickled eggs.
I imagine there'd be a few this Jack Ryan, and there'd be one.
And is he a classic on stool in front of everyone else?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Jack Walters, you might know.
Yeah.
Not Walton. Not Jack Walton. Walters. Jack Walton. Yeah. He was one in the bridge, stood on the stool. Big man he was, ate his egg and chundered over everyone.
Oh. If there's any chance of Screech to try and embarrass someone, screw someone over there.
No, not at all.
Screech, like, he will just rinse anyone and everyone. No. He could be as just...
The real question is, does Papa Kinnish ever do these drinks?
He invented it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pickles the eggs.
I think Harry pickles the eggs. Yeah.
Oh, so the special laxy eggs.
Yeah, special laxy eggs.
It's a serious business.
Next time you sit down, we'll get you.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
The whiskey and the pint as well.
But yeah. As long as I'm not driving, I'll get the driver.
Well, you're covering the laxy match tomorrow, aren't you? So you
do
appeal. Go down the Whitey or somewhere.
What was I going to say? We should maybe do, you know, like one of these all researching state of the game surveys where we find out what every initiation drink is.
Yeah, that would be a good book. And then we have to send a hat around to do every single one.
If you're covering the game tomorrow, when do you want the fiver?
Just give me a hat. Sorry, man. We could discuss how bad you next question from Danny Foolis. We talked about him before.
This is a very good question.
This is a very good question. Would you say we underachieved as a team back in around 2012, 2014? We seem to have a good enough team, just always ended up getting beaten by Geordies.
Yeah, Danny's nailed that there. It was. We did underachieve, but at the same time, Geordies were a different class back then. That's when they were in their peak. So to lose out to them, let's be honest, it's not to be embarrassed about that at all.
We had so many good players. We mentioned
did.
A few already.
Yeah.
Ash Webster, Wolfie up front when Wolfie was not a goalkeeper.
Jackson Brown was in there as well, weren't he?
Yeah,
Jackson's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Some really, really good players and just didn't quite click, did it?
No.
Was it a case of, you've mentioned this year you've got a crop of young players, but there's a few more experienced heads like yourselves. Was it that year you were sort of a bit younger and...
No,
and
I think
you still had the remnants of the 2006 Grand Slam team kicking about, but perhaps their influence wasn't as big as maybe you guys
did. It was there. We always had it in us to do better, but I think what it was we focused on fitness too much. So it was fitness pre-season, every session was fitness. And it got to a point that we were too tired, so it came the end of the year and we lost silly games. Mm. And that's the issue. We were just ran into the ground and it came to the end of the year. And we couldn't do it anymore. We just couldn't keep going at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely say them years were our fittest that I've ever been at Laxey. Mm-hmm. And most of the lads would have been. But we got to a level that we were just too tired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we lost it.
Interesting, isn't it? So the next question is in from Paul Callow. Another interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the culture in Max football has changed over the past 10 years? And if so, has it had a positive or negative effect on Laxey?
Deep from Paul, eh?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well,
it's definitely changed.
In
what
really
way has? It's hard to put my finger on it. From when I was a kid and playing, it was more competitive. I felt when I was, it was more. There was more competition.
So we're saying we talked about it before, and we say there's maybe 3 or 4 teams that you're sort of saying that go away. Back then, would you say it was 6 to?
Yeah,
seven?
I'd say there was 6 to 7 teams, and that's probably what's changed. And again, that's nothing against Geordies. People say Geordies have ruined it. They didn't ruin it.
Mm.
People went there to win.
Mm.
So, yeah, it has changed. It really has.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how we can make it better.
I think, it's a big question, isn't it? You know, if we could come up with an answer in this next half an hour.
Yeah. If John Palmer was here, he could literally give you the answer.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the positive and negative thing, as Paul said, is it had a negative effect on Laxey. But I think... It's just football, isn't it? It's very circular. So you have good times, you have bad times.
Yeah. Our downfall is not giving the kids a go at the right time. Your Sammy Gellings, your Matty Kent Lloyd.
Mm.
I'll even throw Josh Evans in there just for a laugh. Cam Kay, Connor Hislop.
Mm.
Who else is thrown into that that's left us? Jamie Devine.
Yeah, Rennie's on boxing.
Yeah, Matthew Rennie. Even Pete Callow was in there.
Yeah.
Who else is in that group?
There are lots of good players who play now for the good teams.
If you could pick them all off and bring them back, we would win the league.
Mm.
No questions asked. But we've let them go. Instead of giving them the chance and sticking with, for me an example, a 34-year-old fat man playing at centre-back, should be binning me off and giving these kids. So maybe we, as Lexi, to blame themselves at a point that we've not given these kids their chance early enough.
Good question.
Yeah. And he also asked another question, another loaded one. Being at the club for many years, you've worked with plenty of coaches and managers, but who overall is the best manager or coach you've played under?
And this is from Paul Keller, former Lexi manager.
Yeah. Hashtag ask him for a friend.
For me, I'm going to say it's probably Marty Cole and Rob Matthews. They probably have the same ideas, you know, they were good together, you know.
I've heard it said they were the Julio and Evans.
Marty and Rob would be my two. But then you obviously, in that, Peter Hazlett, I had a lot of time for Peter.
Yeah.
Peter was tremendous for us. Mm. He brought everyone together. That was back in the combi. Mm. Derek Melville, he was very good.
You won the combi with Derek?
Yeah, that was probably my most enjoyable year, if I'm being honest, of winning, was that combi year.
You've always had you had a period where you seemed to be in the Junior Cup final all the time as well.
Yeah,
you?
We did. That was early doors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a few. Barry Williams, he was very good.
I think, obviously, for me, it's different time, different era almost to you, but like Goz is a great coach. Yeah. He's kind of first, because I guess it's changing that way as well. People don't just want a manager now, do they? They want the coach, they want the physio, they want all sorts of different psychologists and all sorts. So it's like when Goz was like our first coach for me, because obviously I missed the whole Brido years.
Brido was phenomenal. Great doing that. You'll never beat Brido. Don't care. Anyone says Brido is fantastic.
And I think we've obviously been close to getting Goz back sometimes. I think it would be great to...
Yeah. I think that's the missing piece, is having Gozzy back in.
No pressure.
But he's doing better, no pressure, Goz. But he's doing a fantastic job. Geordie's with the kids, our kids as well. But yeah, I'm going to say Rob and Marty.
That was...
And Stephen Wren. Obviously, Stevie's a legend in his own right.
Yeah, he's great still. Yeah. It comes down.
Stevie is, yeah.
I got asked my what was the best moment in a Lexi shirt, and I couldn't really answer, but my worst one was being subbed off for Marty Cole at United.
You have quite a passionate fan base, Lexi. It's one of those clubs that, like, I don't know, you get your ear bent a few times, don't you, Dave? Over certain, you know, reports or people that have been in Team of the Week or whatever, or not been in Team of the Week is probably the case, maybe. But is that, you know, we've talked about sometimes maybe we've had the lads in for Peel or Russian or even Ramsey, we've said, you know, how's that, is that pressure, particularly at Peel, they can feel the shed on their back. How's it play out for you guys? Because, you know, they're there through thick and thin. And I remember last year when you were having a really tough season, there was still that hardcore dozen supporters.
We've got some like that.
Good supporters there. I quite like having it. I mean... It's rough with the smooth, I suppose, like anything. If you're playing badly, they might tell you. But it's nice to have it, that people down supporting you. And actually, like, you know, when they do go to away games as well, it's, you know, sometimes if I wasn't fit or injured, I wouldn't even go to an away game. Like I said, they're actually
going down. Had a good crowd down. I didn't realise how many it was until, obviously, someone tallied them all up or something. They're saying there was 100-something people there. I was like, wow. You know, it's been years since we've had 100 people down watching, but... Yeah, we have a core that do come down.
Yeah, and it's people posting on the Facebook. Then we've got this Margaret.
Margaret Griffiths. They're always down. Julie Simpson, she's always down.
It's nice to have it down, and it's kind of a mix of people as well.
And obviously the area near your pitch has been heavily affected by the flooding.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, you are quite a close-knit community.
Perhaps
the football club can be a focal point of that, isn't it?
Yeah, it can.
I think it definitely wasn't for a few years, and it's kind of maybe slowly getting back there now. Like, you kind of even see the local co-op, whatever, people will recognise their training tops, or say the Johnny doing really well this year. And it's nice to have a good feeling back. There's a really good kind of vibe.
Like, even now, you go back in the village and like you're getting recognised. Oh, you're doing well this year, you know. It's great. There's a hype about the football club again, whereas last year it's like, oh, lost again. But now it's like, you're doing well, and bringing people, like, faces we've not seen. Coming down again.
Yeah. We made a point that John would do pre-season running through the village all the time.
So we had a kit this year. It's a great idea. Go when it's, you get.
And you're running past the pubs and Lexi, and then there's a few shortcuts in Lexi, so there was
John's getting inside off, the phone calls. And the mines.
I think it's all cut down here.
Yeah.
Why Screech Pub didn't
But it's definitely, it's good to have him down. It's good to have people down watching and supporting, and
even staying after the game, just chatting,
just having a drink after the game. Yeah, and it's
feel good factor.
That's it.
Momentum. buzzwords we all use all the time. Next question is in from Stan Manning, another one of your university brigade. He says, who do you think will be relegated from the First Division this season? Now, you've obviously played a few of the teams that might be in the bracket of relegation contenders. Is there anyone you thought, oh, you're really going to struggle this year?
Sean Gavin will tell you all, boys. Yeah. If Sean's come back, whatever Sean did at all boys, I don't know, but he came back saying that he was the best player there and all this. So, yeah. I'll be honest, Gav, there you go.
No, old boys were, against us, they were, I think fitness really told in the end though, because they were getting maybe 2.5 time and
I wasn't playing, so
maybe that helped as well.
Yeah,
but that like fitness really helped. I think some of their results since then have been, they've obviously maybe not won, but they've done better.
Yeah. Since I've come back in, you
old boys. So I think they maybe lost to like Geordie's 3-1 or something, and it's, you know, it's quite a good result really. I think
for me,
Royals for me, but I've not seen Pulley yet and I've heard they might be losing more players.
Yeah, I think that Pulley, probably, from what I've been hearing, we haven't played them, but I'm hearing that they're struggling. So, just on that,
I don't want to say them, and we've not played them, and then
something happens. Of course, yeah. But
what about Ramsey? Because obviously, they're 4-4, but in the bad way, but haven't scored. Now, yeah, that is a
Ramsey will come good. Ramsey really will.
You have to say that, you're a local
guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ramsey lad now.
He's buttering up the mood.
Yeah, that's it.
I thought they played some good football against us. They just, I think, it's like this year is obviously the whole new rule with passing, keeping a pass it into the box, and everyone trying to pass around the back so much. We just kind of kept catching them.
Just press.
Yeah.
The thing for Ramsey, they played Corinthians and lost 2-0. So they are making improvements. Like,
and they've got the lad up front.
Dylan Pickles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll score goals.
Yeah.
He'll get them goals. And obviously, it's a hard start. It could have been, if they had our fixtures, we had their fixtures, could have been similar. Yates was. I think he's called himself the coach when we were down.
Ah, oh, right, okay.
But they've got some good footballers in there, they played good football. I just think they kind of shot themselves in the foot doing the wrong places.
I think they lost some key players as well this year.
Well, Nick White's got a question, hasn't he?
He's a big loss for them.
I tried to get Nick to come into Laxey when I heard it wasn't quite working at Corinthians. For some reason, he decided to go to Ayr. I don't know why he'd go to Ramsey to get promoted. And then goes Ayr, but it's obviously lots of mates up there, so it's
look at Ayr now, they've got a great team.
Johnny Shearer's on a meal team.
Yeah, you have to say, but they've got a different pressure on them this season.
They
to
have,
perform.
But I don't think Sean Kelly's played for them yet, has he?
No,
I think he's
like
the World Cup darts at the moment.
Johnny Shields and Declan, they're all playing.
Yeah, Declan's travelling, isn't he? So it's Aidan.
Elliot Curitan's a really good footballer.
Yeah,
Skilly.
Oh, that's been at Laxey as well.
Yeah. Because Ball got kicked out, didn't he? He went back there, they kicked him out a week later.
But I'm sure he'll bite on that one. Last question is from someone we've already mentioned, but he says, has Jordan Cooper ever bought his own wallet, or does he just use his dad's bank card, and that's from his dad?
No, never seen any cash on that boy.
No, he always late for training due to work, but he never has any money.
No.
That is funny. Obviously, Jim and Jordan, they get lots of stick, Jordan does, but Jim's good to have him down there. He's obviously very involved. Yeah. Again, like Roy helping John out with tactics all the time.
Yeah, he is.
I think it was Jordan's birthday this week, actually, so maybe you have some birthday money. You can buy the beers this week.
Yeah, drinks in Peel.
Get the big legs in.
Yeah, exactly.
We missed out one question, actually. It's from someone that we've mentioned a couple of times. From Harry Walters himself.
A couple of times today, Dave. Good job you're here.
But he asks, would you shave both your heads if Laxey win the league?
Yeah, I shave mine anyway, so it doesn't make any difference to me. I'll shave mine. Max, however, with that receding hairline, might be a thing.
I've never had short hair since a long time ago.
Short hair, mate.
Have you seen American Dad?
Yeah.
Roger the Alien.
Yeah.
That's what I look like, I think. But if we won the league this year, then maybe I'd also join Screech and donate, but I think that's quite safe to
on that as well. Paul Carroll's just texted me as well, saying about, can I mention about the lads not showering in the changing rooms? They turn up in their kit, they go home in their kit, they don't shower.
This is a big beef of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's
weird.
A generational thing.
It doesn't help them when you've got long hair, mate. You're 34 in a shower, and they're all 17-year-old boys stood around. Not very good.
I just love the fact that Lynx Africa is still a thing.
It's still going around, yeah. Jordan Cooper's got bottles of that stuff in his bag, and he just sprays himself. There's like pass on, like lads, there's a shower.
It's not going to help with his head.
Whereas Screech uses DP as the...
Yeah,
straight
in. Yeah.
Oh, great stuff. That's left me with a lovely mental image. Right, what have we got here? We'll look ahead to this weekend's fixtures. Starting off in the Canlife Premier League. 5 games as usual this weekend on Saturday. Now, fingers crossed, we're hoping there's 5 games going
ahead. Yeah, we hope so.
Some good games this weekend, Dave. We'll talk about Peel Laxey in a minute, but we'll kick off with Rush United versus St Mary's. Big game at the top. St Mary's 100% start to the season. Rushing looking to burst that particular bubble at Croke Larry.
Yeah, Rushing have just sort of gone under the radar a little bit so far this season, haven't they? They've started really well, got some good wins under their belt, and that was probably a bit of an acid test for them against you guys last week, especially having gone 3-2 down. So it'll be interesting to see how they are this weekend. St Mary's, they don't really look like they've got out of second gear yet.
No. We don't wish to be disrespectful to teams we play, but they've had a bit of a kinder run so far. I think Al and his squad will want to have some tougher games now, if I'm being honest, because it is bizarre. We're nearly in November and most teams have only played 4 or 5 games, so it does seem like it's been a very stop-start to the season.
Massive plus point for St Mary's is Jack McVeigh's back at Environ. Obviously, he was out injured for quite a while, but he scored a hat-trick against Royal last weekend. I think this game, I wouldn't like to call it, to be honest. You saw Rushing and they did really well against Peel.
Yeah. Second half particularly.
I think this one may end in a draw as well.
Rushing, interesting fact fans, is that Rushing haven't lost any over a year at Croydon Larry. I think they were in the cup. They have. They lost to Corinthians, but not in the league.
It's a horrible place to go. It's hard down there.
So obviously that might weigh a little bit in the thing. This corresponding last year, fixture last year was a draw, was it?
I think it was, yes. I think one of the few
so
teams.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're all sat on the Dave Norton fence here. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I think sure.
Max?
Yeah, I think Rushing, they passed the ball around really well against us, but obviously for St Mary's it's the first time we've come up against a bigger team, so to say, so it's going to be interesting. But then you do look at the players they've got, and even just like some of the strikers, Dan bagged 10 and 2 or 10 and 3 kind of thing. It's they could easily bag a few, but I think draws a good shot, to be honest. I was impressed with Rushing. I think people ripped them off as like fifth maybe behind the other four, top four for Railway Cup.
I think Liam's done well with them.
Yeah,
really well.
So I think it'd be a good game.
It's almost a bit like you guys. You lost a lot of players in the summer. He lost Dan and Josh, which you build a team around normally. And people think, you're going to struggle here, but he's built them back together. Yeah. They seem very much. We had the lads in the Matty and Mike in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and a bit like yourselves, there's a good feeling around the camp again, and they're very together.
Liam's done similar to what John's done. It's the youth. He's give the youth a go, and that's the best way.
And it'd be interesting to see what reception Mr. Hattersley gets on his return to Port Erin and the Wailing Wall, of course. did you see this week, there was tomahawk steak competition at Jack's, so was it how many steaks you could eat in a certain amount of time?
Didn't tell me, he went for it, did he?
He was second, so we'll see. Oh, wow. See how that's still sitting on his stomach come 2:30 PM on Saturday afternoon. Right, the game I'm going to. You're obviously going to Rushing, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah, certainly am.
Packing your sandwiches, getting on the number one, is it?
I might get the train down.
Oh, someone's doing well. That's fine. Peel versus Laxey on Saturday. The game I'm going to out west. As I say, at the moment, it looks like we won't have an issue. But we were talking about this morning. We've got Daniel Bell and Gary Smith, two great ground staff, a bit like yourself. They'll be nipping over the fence from the golf course at any given opportunity. So the pitch should be a good nick. Lads, you played Rushing. It was obviously, that was a test. Dave, you look at Peel, obviously they drew the week before these two. Is it a similar sort of match, the way you're shaping it up?
I think before, Peel played Rushing before they played
Ulster. Yeah, it was 2-2.
So, it's going to be, I like it to be a close game. I'm not going to say what scores, because again, I'm not going to put pressure on anyone at the club. But yeah, we're going to give it a go. We've got nothing to lose.
That's the main thing.
That's a good thing this year. We have nothing to lose. We've started well, so let's just keep going at them.
Would it be a case, Max, that, we talked about it before, Peel in the shed can get pretty quickly vocal if things aren't going Peel's way. Keep it tight for maybe half an hour and let the pressure build on them? Because the onus is on them to get a result, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. All pressure's on them, for sure. It's easy for us to say that. Whether we can actually do that is another thing. I think we tried that at Rushing and we were 2-0 down in about 15 minutes or whatever. At that point, I thought it was going to be about 6-0 or something. But I don't think they've really got fire, and they've got the front three they've got. It's ridiculous.
I think we'd be 8 points clear if we beat them. If Peel.
We've got lovely Lee, Reese, and Dan. It's just, you do look at that and think, that's going to be a fun for the back line, but it's not really been the case yet for them.
Is Don playing, Don McGeevy?
He's been back training, so he might be back.
Because Tom Wood's injured, I think.
It was Luke Doherty and... Who's
Luke's
center?
A great defender.
Joel Callow's been playing well.
Yeah, Joel Callow. Watched him the week. What I was going to say there, do you approach these games differently? Does John make you approach them differently to say, have you played Douglas Royal? Or is it just like, we're going to play our way and whatever happens?
And that's it. Yeah. We are going to play our way. We don't change for anything. We just go.
Not change formation. Not change anything. No man marking. It's kind of...
People laugh at us for our formation. Oh yeah, they're playing this and they're playing that. We stuck with it.
People said that about Sheffield United, Dave. Overlapping centre-half. Overlapping centre-half to the way forward. That'll be for you, Dave. Yeah. Get off that wing.
Got to get back, though.
Dave, are you going to hazard a guess on the result in this one?
Dave, don't take offence.
I probably will sit on the fence for this. I don't know. I think Peel, when I see them play this season, I've not been convinced by the midfield yet. I think it's not firing on all cylinders. That could be a big factor this weekend.
Especially with Makélélé playing.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Could be at the back, we'll see.
Makélélé.
But yeah, obviously Falaxi having the likes of Andy Burkett back is a big plus.
If he gets in the team, you've got the incumbent centre-half.
No chance to get past him, but...
quite literally.
I think this is going to be a good game, this. It's good to watch. I am going to sit the fence, sorry. I'm going to go for a draw. Sorry.
I think I might join you on that fence as well. It'd be a good week for a coupon this week, because I just think, as you said, Peel aren't quite hitting their straps yet. If they get a result against, in the same way you've springboarded off the first few results, if they get a result in this game, I think they'll be the ones to watch in the next few weeks after that. But they're just not, and I know Lee's been away on holiday and they're just trying a few different things out.
Yeah.
Billy Kenyuk's been involved in
that. Reece has been dropping back into midfield a bit.
Have you got any more tactics?
Talk to me after. We'll call it a tenner this week. I think it's going to be a close match. I just hope it doesn't rain. Next match is up at Ballaclough. We talked about it before. Ramsey, four losses from four, haven't scored yet, but they take on Paul Rose United, that are equally on, haven't broken their duck yet this season, but interestingly have scored six goals over the same period. Now, in my preview in today's Manx Independent, or this week's Manx Independent, I said Pulley might just edge this because they've got a bit of firepower on their side in the shape of Stephen Priestnell. But
I watched their game last week, Steedo scored after 50 seconds in that one against Old Boys, and you thought, all right, this is going to be a good day for them. But in the end, Old Boys just proved too strong. I think fitness was a thing. I know you guys have talked about that a lot. They just sort of ran out of gas in the second half. Again, Ramsey at home, I think this will be where they break the duck. They'll score in this one. I quite fancy them to get a win, actually, the home side, I think.
Dave, what are you saying?
I'm back on with Dave. I think Ramsey.
I'm also on the Ramsey bandwagon. I think at the start of the season, they're missing Mike Verlerga at the back as well.
The man mountain.
Yeah, so playing too much golf he is, I think. But I think he'd be good to have back for them. And I rated Ramsey if they played good football, so I think they'd be all right.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there, Max. So I watched them tail end of last season against Old Boys in the Cup. But really good. Good, and as Dave's alluded to before, they gave the kids a chance. They had loads of good young players. Dylan Pickles looked real fine.
Yeah.
Big Mike at the back. It just hasn't quite worked yet this season. And it's all about trying to keep faith, isn't it? Because not panic.
They should take some confidence from that result against Corinthians. I know they lost, but it was only 2-0 in that game. So that's...
But Pezza had a great game, though, didn't he?
He did. Team of the week, of course.
Andrew Roy Perry. Shout out. Right, next game, season round, take on Corinthians. We've talked about the monkey brains, let's talk about the football. They're another team stuck on a big fat zero. It's been tough for them since they lost Ash and Harry since the start of the season.
Yeah, of course. I don't really see them getting much out of this. They may just sneak a draw, but I think Corinthians, they sort of seem to be simmering a little bit now. They're sort of getting back on track a little bit. Obviously, they've got a new manager in charge now. Blaine Satterby's there. They're free scoring, they've got so much firepower in that squad. I think they should be alright.
You say back on track, Dave. They won two of the first three games, so they weren't exactly too far from it, really. Again, they're one of the teams that have been affected by this disjointed start of the season. they'll be looking for a good win at this. Morale, though, is a bit of a bog down there, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it is.
When we played down there, it was the pitch, though. It was like they'd cut the grass, but they'd left all the grass they'd cut on top of the pitch.
It was a fun game.
It was weird.
Headball, mouthful of grass.
Yeah. It's very compact
it's
as well.
It's so small. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever played there.
But it helped us out, so.
Yeah, but it was weird. We were just passing around the back, and that's if like we went up quite early, like 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, and then. But they just weren't pressing you, and it's like we're just passing the ball at the back, and they weren't pressing. It's weird. I didn't quite get what they were doing, but they were the hardest out of the first four we've played, I think.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They had some good players there at the back. They're quite solid at the back.
Dave has them. We've talked about it. They've got a camaraderie, don't they?
Yeah.
Esprit de corps, if you will, and they are. That might get them through this sticky patch.
Yeah.
With all due respect, they're probably thinking, right, we just need to get this one played and crack on.
Losing their keeper was a big blow for them.
Yeah, Harry was a standout player last season.
It's quite good for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. That's
a bit harsh.
Next game, the club he's joined, Douglas Royal, take on St George's. And again, are they on zero as well? Yeah, they're rock bottom on zero. I think they've conceded 23 in three games.
Yeah, they conceded 9 to St Mary's last time out.
Max wince as a defensive midfielder. It's not the form you want to be taken in to be taken on St George's, is it, Dave? You
know, not really, no.
And if Furo's got caught out the right side of bed, it could be.
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree.
It's not really been many of the big games yet, has there, really?
No,
it's
no.
Going to be keep looking every week and still.
I think Meps has stored them up for one Super Saturday.
Yeah.
Christmas period.
We're going to be spread all over the island, won't we?
Yeah.
So to George's, they're ticking along nicely. They boast the division's other 100% record with this. St Mary's, don't they? 3 from 3.
Yeah, they're just going about their business, just doing the Geordie's thing, really, aren't they? The young players there have settled in well. Obviously, Jacob Crook's doing well, too. I just think they'll be much too strong for this one. Should be a pretty safe 3 points for them.
50p on Jacob Crook to score against his old club?
Yep.
In here first. JCK Division 2, the self-proclaimed best division in Europe. Kicking off with a great game. I'm going to say kicking off with a great game, but it's at Billy Goat Park, Foxdale versus Union Mills. Should we call that one off now, Dave? Or?
May as well, yeah. Now, this should be, if it goes ahead, this should be a really interesting game, this. Both sides have obviously got aspirations of a promotion challenge and possibly the title, so I think there should be a few goals in this. Mills, with the signings they made during the summer, I know Sam Kane hasn't really played much yet, but like the likes of Luke Booth, Matty Kane, you know,
John Crawley.
Yeah, they've got a great team there. Foxdale, likewise, they've started off well. Adding Will Penhillerick, if I can say it right, to the team has been a big plus for them. So this should be an interesting match to watch.
I'm just looking at the league table there, and obviously St John's are ahead on 15, having played a game more than most in that chasing pack. But there's only 2 points between the next 5 teams. It just shows you why it is the best league in Europe, isn't it? I don't think there's no one's dominated so far. We've played 5 games and most have lost one. It just shows you how competitive this division is, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no one beating teams in the league now.
Foxdale Mills, could we a draw? Do we keep sitting on this fence? It's going to snap the amount of pressure on it at the moment.
I think Mills might just sneak this one.
Mills might sneak it. Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mills as well.
Mary Mills?
We played Foxdale pre-season. I thought they were all right. And I don't know much about the Mills team, so I'll go for home win.
Home win, if it's on. All back to the Baltic afterwards, even if it isn't. Ramsey, you set the take on Colby with the new man at the helm.
So Rory Poole's spell as manager lasted 3 games.
Did he win 2?
Win 2, he did well.
Not a bad record.
Means he can get back to reporting for us now.
So he's been replaced by Andy Black, another legend of the club. Former goalkeeper, centre-half, all-round youthy...
Yeah.
Legend.
So, do we think he'll last more than 3 games? Because you think they're now on their 3rd manager in 6 games. So.
Wow.
Fingers crossed. You to take on Colby up at School Road. Gorry, another great, should be a good game. Colby have sort of had a bit of a wobble in the last couple of weeks, haven't they, Dave?
Yeah, they've won 3 and lost 2, and they're just not quite hit their straps yet, have they? I think most people tipped them to do well this season. They may well have targeted this game as the one to kickstart the season. We talked about it with other teams before. Youthy, though, it's a tough place to go, and Youthy have started the season well, so I think they'll probably fancy their chances of getting the win here.
I've just said that Colby have had a ball, but they beat Foxtel last week, actually, 1-0. So it
was an injury time winner as well. So.
Carl Hickey, defender turned goal scorer. Oh, yeah. It's life for you, yeah, Dave. They could tell you exactly. But yeah, so you think right, you know, so that big trip for Colby, that's a 3-day trip at least. They've got me sober, right?
On this one, I'm going to go for Rijkaard on this one.
Mm. Yeah, they're doing all right in the league, aren't they, Youthy? Where are they?
Youthy are in the mix in fourth.
Yeah, I had to do a bit of research before I came on. So. But yeah, I'd back Youthy as well. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe Youthy should go with that new manager bounce, you know.
Every 3 weeks, yeah. we'll soon see, won't we? Air United versus St John's, another big clash in the north. St John's, obviously the league leaders at the moment. Air heavily tipped, as we've said, to feature in the promotion places come May. St John's have only lost once already this season. I mean, I think that was against Foxtel, wasn't it?
It was. St John's have just gone about the business as well. You know, they sort of went under the radar, didn't they, at the start of the season? Not many people tipped them, but they've just, you know, they've got some really good results, and I think I don't know with this one. I'm going to go with St John's to win this.
Screech.
It's tough. I'm going to have to go St John's. I just think of current form, just ahead of everyone.
Yeah, I think with Callum Taggart in the middle. I think when I was growing up, Taggart was one of the best centre mids on the island at our age group. But if the Air lads have got all the lads have signed playing, then Air should be good at home.
I'm going to go for the Los Galacticos of Air. I think the orange, clockwork orange or whatever, the tangerine jeans, how many other puns I can make, that'll all count in their favour, and they'll might just edge St John's in this one. But yeah, another close game. There's been a lot of close games this weekend. As I say, it would be a great week to have a Manx coupon. Yeah. You can make a fortune. Michael United versus Governors Athletic. Michael, obviously, two stellar signings at the start of the season, or three if you can count Johnny Holland and of course Pete Dunne as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's not quite worked out as we thought, has it?
No. Well, Callum hasn't played much. He's still struggling with injury. Pekka's done well, scoring goals, so he should be fired up for this one. He could have a bit of a field day. Nick Hurt playing well, but he was sent off in the last game, so I don't know whether he's banned for this one. Who knows? Johnny Holland is injured. So, again, it's not going to be their full team, which is, having spoke to Hurt a few weeks ago, that's the thing he's been most frustrated with, is not being able to get the same side out. But I think they'll be too strong for Govers in this one.
Govers lost 6-0 to D&D last time out, in a game we thought would be a little bit closer than that, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it could have been more because there was a bit of VAR controversy in this.
Oh yeah, did you see that this week, lads? No. So have you heard of the greatest goal that ever was, which was Timmy Collister in the stellar surroundings of Combination 2? He scored an absolute peach a couple of seasons ago. Had he got it on video, hit the stanchion, came back out, and the referee played Play on Johnny Hogg.
Oh yes, I have seen this. Yes,
it went viral. The sun and all picked it up, and just to compound things, I think Governors went up the other end and scored. Yeah. Well, it happened again on Saturday, didn't it?
It did. Well, the Governors didn't score.
No.
But Josh Knight, it was, had a low shot from the edge of the box, angled it into the bottom left corner, and it hit the inside of the stanchion, and then it appeared. It looks like it probably did go over the line, but it sort of rolled across along the length of the line, and the goalkeeper grabbed it and played on. And obviously the D&D boys were fuming. But the VAR footage was inconclusive.
We should just give the referee a name check, Stewie Morris.
Yes.
But I wouldn't want to argue with that man, because he's built like a brick out. I could see why the demonstrations were maybe a little bit subdued. But yeah, so that D&D, Governors, though, sorry, I think, yeah, they would be maybe trying to get something out of this, but I think it'd be my
big Ozzy Moore told me he's going to score a hat trick.
So, are you thinking home winning this one, lads? Blair Road?
Yeah, even though Ozzy's going to score a hat trick.
4-3.
Yeah, 4-3.
Did Governors beat Jim's?
Yes, that's their win. 4-3, I think it was.
James Brown got a better chance.
I think James Brown might have been in goal.
Says it all, that's why.
He went to the gym and he gets on a bigger
field. Only man in Manx football gets a dead leg, an ambulance has to come and get him and take the passport.
I was at that game.
Yeah,
only man. Yeah, I know. He was on oxygen in
the. He was correct, yes.
Douglas District take on Onken, Dave, at Nobles Park. Onken, you'd probably favour for this one, but I tipped D&D to beat St John's the other week, and they very nearly did. So this will be the result they shocked me.
Yeah, we know they've got it. They're more than capable of it, D&D. They always throw up these results every season. They've got a solid start to the season. I think they've had one win and two draws in the opening six games, so you know that's not a bad return for them. Onkin, they lost just to Youthy last week 2-1, so they'll be fired up for this one. They want to desperately kick on again, so they've only played four games. Again, it's that stop-stop feel to the season, isn't it? So I think Onkin should be too strong. It's going to be close, though.
Screech, Onkin.
I'm going to go Onkin. Sorry, Dave Matheson.
Yeah.
That's on the fence of the draw. Because I don't know much about
it. Slope pitch not level for you there, really,
Matt. I don't think I've played there, have I? Yeah. Douglas District, I do right now.
I'm not really good at most football, to be honest.
That's why we've got you
in. I'm learning a lot today.
Well, it was a scene of many inter-house triumphs back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old stuff.
You haven't lived.
Screech knows every undulation in that.
It doesn't
help. No, it doesn't. Right, Braddon versus Blue rounds off the action in JCK Division 2. Half 2, I think this is the penultimate week of half 2 kickoffs, isn't it?
It is.
Because the clocks go back next week, is it?
It probably will be, yeah. It's half term, isn't it? So
yeah, Braddon versus Malou. I'd have to favour a home run in this one, Dave, for me. Yeah. The Swans are sort of bubbling under in that top six sort of area, aren't they?
Yeah, they've done well. Obviously, tough year for them last year, but they've got off to a good start, and if they can get that momentum going, there's no reason why they can't challenge in the top four this season. They should be too strong in this one.
Malou lost a few, Dave. You'd fancy the Swans at home in this one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. I'm going for Brighton.
Yeah, home win for sure.
Home win all round. You heard it here first. Right, talking of hearing things here first, it's Combi Corner, Dave.
Your favourite, mate. Well, despite not playing last weekend, Peel continued to lead the way in Combi 1, but it is now only on goal difference after Russian thrash. I'm sorry to say it, thrash Laxey 7-1 last week. The rest of the top five all recorded big victories as well. St Mary's beat Royal 6-0, while Geordies and Corinthians both hit double figures. Peel and Rushen are locked together on 13 points, with Geordies and St Mary's next on 12, with Laxey on 10. So again, you said before, Laxey have had a good start, haven't they? So hopefully that'll continue. Youthy, they remain 2 points clear in Combi 2 after brushing aside Onkin 6-1, while second place D&D thrashed Governors 9-1. There was no VAR drama there. Elsewhere, a Mark Connor hat-trick and Jim's victory over Union Mills. It's a good result for them, that. And Colby beat Foxdale and St John's edge past Michael 4-3.
I would say Mark Connor, probably the leading marksman in Combi 2 this season.
I tried to get Mark to come back, see.
Very good player.
He is.
So is that it for the Combi Corner? It seemed very short and sweet this week, Dave.
It was.
No stats for me, huh?
Well, if you want. The highest score of the day would have been Aaron Hawley, scored 5 against Laxey.
Bigger on.
Yeah. Yes. Johnny Myers rolling back the years with 4 goals for Geordies as well. So Ben Hall.
Level.
Yeah. Ben Hall got a hat-trick for D&D. Also in that game, Bam Atapon scored his first goal for the club, so well done to him. Danny Allison got a hat-trick for Youthy.
He scored a few goals this season as well, hasn't he?
He does.
Now, we say it's important every week, but it's probably more important than ever. It's Dave Reads the Weather.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's not looking good, I'm afraid. I know it looks okay out there at the moment. And
looks flipping lovely.
There's a hint of blue sky out there, but there's a risk of heavy and prolonged showers later on today becoming scattered overnight. But Saturday should start fairly bright, although there could be some scattered showers later on. So it's just a question of whether the damage has already been done, really.
So, how many are you reckon will be off tomorrow? I think you were a bit out. I think you said 3 the other week and there was 6.
I just throw numbers out. I never remember what I say. So.
Oh, there's no science behind this.
No, of course not.
I thought you were colluding with the Met Office.
Yeah,
you had people positioning the grounds around the island and they were texting you. Well, 2 inches of rain here, Dave.
It's not looking good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 6 postponements.
Only 6?
Yeah.
He's optimistic, lads. He's
out of the 2 top leagues.
Oh, no, I'm still in Combi as well.
Go for 10 then.
10, okay. Because we've already had our first postponement, haven't
we? We have, obviously. Tonight's game at St John's has been called off. So
that was Air United with the visitors, weren't they?
I think so.
St John's in Combi 2, so that game is off already. I think it'll be the first of many. Dave's not so sure, so we'll see. Lads, thanks very much for coming in. Good luck for tomorrow.
Good luck
for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much.
Please do take a biscuit away with you. I think that's about it, isn't it, Dave?
It is. So, yeah, thanks for coming in, and ta-ta for now.